Thank you very much indeed, Shahriman, and thank you very much, TenSree, for such a warm welcome here today. And I'm particularly thrilled that we're going to work more together, and particularly in the region, so that's great. Thank you. And thank you all for coming and wanting to hear from the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement on what we're doing in Rakhine. As TenSree said, I know the situation of Muslim peoples in Rakhine, and the hundreds of thousands now in Bangladesh is a cause of deep feeling and concern for people in Malaysia and for the Malaysian government and for all ASEAN people. The violence and displacement and suffering in Rakhine has a long history and is in danger, in our view, of becoming intractable, with so many families stranded in very precarious conditions in Bangladesh, while the humanitarian situation inside Rakhine now worsens again and remains fragile. So my purpose today is to give you an update on the humanitarian situation, especially in northern Rakhine, and to explain the ICRC's neutral and impartial approach. And then Ezekiel, my colleague from the Federation, will give you additional information on the situation in Bangladesh, where the International Federation and many national societies of the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement are working, and where the Federation has a huge challenge of coordinating our action there. So I'll try and do three things in the next 20 minutes, to first of all give a very brief history as context of our current operations. Then secondly, I want to explain the current humanitarian challenges and the ICRC's operational approach. And thirdly, I want to share some thoughts on future prospects for the people of Rakhine, and therefore discuss our sense of and our view on repatriation. And then, as TenSree says, I really look forward to our discussion, because I want to hear what you think and I want to hear your views on this and to explain our position a bit more. I should also point out first that that Rakhine is one of several areas in which we work in Myanmar. And actually, Myanmar is our second biggest country of operation in Asia after Afghanistan. So in 2018, for example, we reached and supported 400,000 people across Myanmar, because as you know, there are and have been many other conflicts and areas of need and tension across Myanmar. But our focus today is Rakhine. And I want to start with a brief history as we understand the context there. And I want to start, of course, by pointing out that there are two deep sources of tension which exist within Rakhine. The first tension has its roots in the Burmese conquest and absorption of the Kingdom of Rakhine way back in the late 18th century. And this still leads to tensions between a distinct and heartfelt sense of Rakhine history and identity and the wider Myanmar nation and central government. And this sense of difference between Rakhine people, the Rakhine ancient identity, and the central Burmese government is sharpened by the fact that Rakhine remains the poorest region of Myanmar. So that's the first deep tension. And the second deep tension, of course, has its roots in the long presence of a minority Muslim population in Rakhine. And this leads to deep tensions between a strong sense of Buddhist national identity felt by many people in Rakhine and by the government, and people of Myanmar in general and across the center of Myanmar on one side, and a strong sense of home felt by the Muslim communities in Rakhine on the other side. So these are the two deep tensions, and I think it's always important to remember that there are two deep tensions and potential conflicts in Rakhine. And both these tensions have erupted into conflict in the last 2 years, with extreme humanitarian consequences for Muslim communities and for the majority people in Rakhine. 2017, as you all know, saw the worst ever eruption of Rakhine-Muslim tension. This widespread violence resulted in death, sexual violence, the destruction of homes and livelihoods, and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people to Bangladesh, plus displacement and impoverishment for many people staying within Rakhine. And at the end of 2018, the Rakhine-Myanmar tensions also erupted with new clashes between the Arakan army and the government. This has now led to the further displacement in the first part of this year of some 35,000 people across 100 different IDP sites in northern Rakhine. Armed clashes, the use of IEDs, and individual shootings and killings have been violent features of this conflict between the Arakan army and the Tatmadaw Myanmar army. This new outbreak of conflict has again disrupted humanitarian aid and development work in Rakhine over the last 7 months. This new violence has reduced the ICRC's operational surface across northern Rakhine, which had been so carefully developed with Rakhine authorities and the Myanmar Red Cross during 2018. So the first half of this year has been a setback for humanitarian action. Greater needs, increasing instability once again, and reduced access even for us as the ICRC. So I now want to talk a little about the ICRC's operational approach and what we've been trying to achieve. The ICRC was already working in Rakhine with all communities for several years before the violence of 2017. We were thus very well placed to respond and work closely with government, authorities, with the different communities of Rakhine, and with the Myanmar Red Cross. And our determination to work in a principled way has helped to maintain the confidence of all sides. And I want to explain this principled approach to you, because it's, I think, how we work and why we are potentially valuable to all people in northern Rakhine. First of all, our impartiality ensures that we respond to people's needs across the divides in Rakhine society. All communities, all needs. Our neutrality ensures that we do not enter into the political dynamics of the conflicts and tensions in and around Rakhine. So we try deliberately as a neutral organization to stay outside the political fight, the political war of words. Our commitment to discretion and to confidential dialogue with all parties ensures that our humanitarian work to protect and assist people does not become the subject of public dispute. So we work quietly, confidentially. And this neutral and impartial approach, which requires real discipline and a deep investment in relationships and relationship building at all levels and with all parties, means we have been able to reach out and support people across Rakhine, working closely with Myanmar Red Cross, and on our own in some circumstances where our sort of delicate protection work in the protection of civilians from armed clashes and in our detention visits requires that we work more alone. This neutral and impartial independent approach has also enabled us to work across all areas of needs and beyond urban areas where many other NGOs have been confined to urban areas, beyond that into rural areas. So we've met a range of people's needs for protection, for health, water, food, livelihoods, and cash support over the last 2 years. And we've reached out to probably 60 different urban and rural locations in northern Rakhine this year, in 2019. And we've really consolidated and focused at the moment on 17 very vulnerable areas. So I tell you all that because this reach and this diversity and this presence is quite unusual amongst aid agencies in northern Rakhine. Our principled approach has also been very important to our ability to respond to people's needs for family links between people displaced in Bangladesh and family members still living in Rakhine, so separated families. This vibrance of our movement in action together, the Bangladeshi Red Crescent, the Myanmar Red Cross, the International Federation, and the ICRC, all working together to trace families and restore family links. So that's our approach, and it is, you know, because I've been banging on about it, a neutral, impartial, independent approach. And we feel that that is and has worked in Rakhine in the last 2 years, but we are under pressure now from new conflict and difficulties of space. I thought it might be helpful if I gave you some facts and figures, so the next bit will be a bit like a shopping list on our assistance. And I hope this will sort of illustrate the results of this principled approach and what we can achieve. Overall, up to October 2018, so after the initial violence of 2017, the ICRC with the Myanmar Red Cross reached 280,000 people across Rakhine with various efforts and different resources. So that's the overall figure of, you know, over a quarter of a million people. With reduced access since the spike in the Arakan Army conflict in December 2018, our current 2019 figures are as follows. So here come the numbers. Health, our support to 12 mobile clinics, and that's the model we use up there, is mobile clinics, and 6 hospitals, has reached 7,000 people with urgent medical care this year. 60 people have been given safe transport to hospital referrals. We've ensured safe medical evacuation for 58 wounded people and disability support for 22 people. Now, those numbers sound very small for the wounded and the hospital referrals, so I want to give you some insight that that's actually often a very difficult thing to achieve. So if people have been wounded, either as combatants or civilians, in an armed clash of some kind, we have to be close and we have to be in contact with all parties to get agreement for our ambulances and our teams to enter into that situation and extract wounded people. So although the numbers sound low, every human life counts for the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement. And often the intricacy of getting in and negotiating our presence to take people out is quite an achievement in some ways. Food and cash. We've reached probably about 28,500 people with food and cash support, and another 24,000 have received sort of gifts in kind, important things for displaced people who are left with nothing, solar lamps, dignity and hygiene kits for women and men, kitchen equipment, warm clothing. So we have had to deliver things to people who have nothing after a displacement of some kind. Water and sanitation is always a priority for us. Safe water, clean water. We've reached about 27,500 people in dire need of improved water treatment and latrines in the first half of this year. And our protection and detention and family links work has also been important. Our contacts across Rakhine and listening to people and taking time to hear who's missing, what their names are, taking photographs, understanding families' needs and who they're missing. This also takes time and presence and access. And so far this year, we've enabled 2,075 Red Cross messages between separated families and 1,003, just over 1,000 tracing requests, that's people looking for people, between Bangladesh and Myanmar have been initiated. And the solution and the fate of 390 people have been clarified so far. So again, that sounds like a small number, but if you don't know where your husband, your daughter, your wife, your son is, for those 390 families who we can connect again, it's important. We've also visited prisons and places of detention in Rakhine, which is something we always try to do, and our effort there is always about improving conditions, working with authorities to get changes in the conditions of prisoners, and to ensure due process in some way. And we are also, sadly, in a way, beginning to increase our work on weapons contamination and mine risk reduction, because the nature of the fighting there has left a lot of unexplosive weapons, and the presence of IEDs and things like that is leaving what we call the remnants of war and fighting as a potential risk. So our specialized teams are now needing to engage more there. These positive figures do not reveal the negative fact of various activities which are on hold, because the challenge of the first half of this year is that there are lots of things we were not able to do because of the new conflict. And we estimate the following, and these are ballpark figures, but we reckon because of the new fighting, there's 1,000 less people receiving medical attention, 12,000 people are no longer in our cash and livelihood programs, we can't get to them. 74,000 people in about 64 villages who we were working with on water are now not able to reach on water. And these kind of figures, the things that are not happening because our space is a bit reduced at the moment, must be taken into account and seen as part of the problem there. This deprivation, if you like, is the result of the new instability, and we're working hard with all parties to conflict to increase our operational reach at this time. So finally, I just want to look about future prospects and have some thoughts on that. The situation since December 2018 is reducing the prospects for people's safety and for effective humanitarian action and development investment in Rakhine. It is our deep concern in the ICRC that people's displacement in Bangladesh and increasing needs within Rakhine risk the creation of an intractable crisis in this area. The ICRC recognizes the principle of repatriation for people now in Bangladesh, but also we recognize that any repatriation must include safety and the possibility of a life with dignity for those in the Muslim community returning. And it must respect the rule, the legal rule of non-refoulement, no forcible return. So our understanding of a life with dignity back in Rakhine, in this case, includes people's access to good homes, services in health, water, and this access to safety and services must also be complemented by genuine freedom of movement, the rule of law, and the ability for people to pursue appropriate livelihoods without discrimination. And economic challenge very deep, as you all know. Humanitarian action of the kind we're discussing today cannot solve political problems. It can respond to immediate needs, and it can help create a conducive environment for people's protection. But the solution to the two different conflicts and tensions in Rakhine must be political solutions grounded in people's basic rights and grounded in the lawful use of force by all parties and grounded in government responsibility to meet the needs of its peoples. So that is really, as an introduction, our view, the current situation, our view of the conflicts and the prospects. Chair, and I'm happy for Ezekiel now to move over to Bangladesh and discuss the situation there. Okay.